Too often, interactions are about people pushing others down, and not enough human interactions involve pulling people up. So easy to find the discouragers, but it's so hard to find the encouragers. I thank God for the encouragers. And I want to share with you this morning that there is power in encouragement.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In Pastor Brian Grant's message last week, taken from the 11th chapter of Acts, we learned that with the coming of the church, the game-changing gospel of Jesus Christ unlocked the mysteries of God's blessings in ways that could not have previously been imagined. Against all the social and religious norms of the day, Gentiles believed the gospel and were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, the church, just as had the Jewish believers before them. In this week's message in his continuing series through the book of the Acts, Pastor Grant takes on the vital subject of encouragement, using, for an example, a gentleman in the early church who so typified the virtue of an encourager that he was named exactly that by his brethren. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 19 through 26, and listen as Pastor Grant begins his message entitled, The Power of Encouragement. Here's Pastor Grant.
Today I want to speak about the power of encouragement. We live in a world that's so full of criticism and words of discouragement that we often miss the incredible power of encouragement. And we've been going through the book of the Acts, and today we're going to talk about one of the greatest encouragers in the New Testament, a man called Barnabas. The power of encouragement is the first thing I want to talk about. Booker T. Washington once said, there are two ways of exerting one's strength. One is pushing down, the other is pulling up. And sadly, in many human interactions, they involve individuals who are pushing others down. Am I right about that? Too often, interactions are about people pushing others down, and not enough human interactions involve pulling people up. So easy to find the discouragers, but it's so hard sometimes to find the encouragers. So I always thank God for the encouragers. I thank God for the encouragers. And I want to share with you this morning that there is power in encouragement. You say, what's the power of encouragement? Number one, encouragement increases courage. Encouragement increases courage. The words encourage and discourage both have the same root word. The root word is the word courage, and they each have a prefix before it. I don't want you to miss this. And en is put before encourage to form a verb. It means to put into. Don't miss that. En before courage brings the idea of putting into. Whereas if you have the prefix dis before courage, discourage means to remove or to take out. In other words, if you're encouraged, it means that something or someone has put courage into you. I don't want you to miss that. When you are encouraged, it means somebody has put courage into you. But when you are discouraged, it means that someone has taken courage out of you. This morning, I don't want you to miss that. I hope everyone grasps that, because sometimes in the Church of Christ, there are people who go around and discourage. And I want you to realize that when you discourage somebody, you're actually snatching the very courage out of them. When we have a critical spirit and say words to discourage someone, we're literally taking the courage out of them. But when we say a word to encourage someone, we are putting courage into them. So this morning, I want you to ask yourself, am I an encourager? Or am I a discourager? But the second thing that is important as we talk about the power of encouragement is that encouragement is an antidote for discouragement. Encouragement is an antidote for discouragement. You know, God has provided two primary antidotes for discouragement. Two primary antidotes. One is the encouragement of the scriptures. The encouragement of the scriptures. If you are discouraged, take time to saturate your soul with God's word. Oh, there might be somebody here this morning and you entered into God's house very discouraged. I want you to know there are two primary things that God has provided, two primary antidotes, and one is the scriptures. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 tells us, for everything that was written in the past. Romans chapter 15 verse 4, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the what? And the encouragement they provide, we might have a hope. My friend, I don't want you to miss that. The Word of God, the Bible says that the Scriptures provide encouragement. The Scriptures provide encouragement that leaves us with hope. This morning in our Sunday school class, we were talking about the impact of hope. When you have hope, it makes a huge difference. But second, not only do we have the encouragement of scriptures, but we have the encouragement of the saints. At times we all struggle, storms hit, drama happens. And God has put us together as a church family so that we can encourage each other, not shoot each other and criticize each other and tear each other down. God has put us together as a church family so that we can encourage each other. Here's what my Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13. It says this, and I don't know what how your Bible reads, but mine reads like this: but encourage one another daily. Oh, stop there. Does your Bible say that? It says encourage one another every single day. He said, Brother Brian, this is a strange type of message. I thought you were going to give us some heavy theology. Well, I gave you some theology the last few weeks. It's time for some practical, real, get your teeth into it message. And this morning, God is saying as forcibly as he possibly can that the issue of encouragement is not some pie in the sky. This is something that every believer in Jesus Christ needs to grab a hold of. And so in Hebrews 3:13, he says, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. Is today today? So that none of you be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, because God knows there are all sorts of reasons that will discourage you and trick you and trap you and make you want to fall away. And so God says, encourage each other daily. So my friend, if you're one of those who are going through difficulty, you know what I notice sometimes in church? When people are going through stuff, what do they tend to do? They stay home. How crazy. Don't you realize, and I hope you're not missing this, if you're one of those who are tempted to stay home when you go through stuff, just remember there are two primary antidotes that God has given for discouragement. Number one is the encouragement of scripture, and number two is the encouragement of the saints. Now, some people have the gift of encouragement. You know, there's a special gift of encouragement. But every Christian has the ability to be an encourager. So don't tell me you cannot be one. Every Christian has the gift has the ability to be an encourager, or God could not tell you in Hebrews 3:13 to encourage each other daily while it is called today. He could not do that if it was not possible for you to be an encourager. It's Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 27:17. What a powerful scripture. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And when that friend's countenance is crestfallen because of discouragement, because of drama in their life, what a privilege we have to come alongside them and encourage them and have their countenance to change.
You know, sometimes people tell me, I don't like to encourage, I don't like to say good things to people because I don't want anybody's head to swell. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you a secret. There are enough people discouraging the folks, the person that you're thinking and don't want to tell something encouraging. Trust me, they're hearing enough words of discouragement that your little encouragement will not cause them to swell because they are overcome by discouragers. I have come to the conclusion that there are more discouragers. I wonder what is the ratio of encouragers to discouragers. But thirdly, encouragement gladdens the heart. And soon we're going to go talk about Barnabas and look at the profile of encourager. But let's look at this. Thirdly, encouragement gladdens the heart. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says this to us. It tells us that anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but an encouraging word makes it glad. Encouragement gladdens the heart. Encouragement works in all human situations. This is not just for the church. I'm not talking about something that you only do when you're in church. Might I say just a word before I move on to husbands and wives? You know, sometimes problems happen in marriages, and one spouse, a wife, or let's pick up the wife first, you know, she figures a way to get the husband to do what is just to nag him, keep at him. And after 5 years, she still hasn't changed the modus operandi. It hasn't worked. So she keeps doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Why not do something different, like become an encourager? Sir, you are so hard on your wife. Why not change and become an encourager? Why not find something to encourage? Parent. Oh, you know, I was thinking, as I was driving along, I was thinking it's so amazing how we parents are such great encouragers when our children are young. You know, the child is trying to walk. And you know, mommy and daddy, you're on the floor and you're saying, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Am I right about that? We are the great encouragers. And somehow, somewhere along the line, a parent who was such a good encourager, we lose that ability to encourage. And all we can do is get down on the child about all the things that they're doing wrong. You did this and you did that and you did the other. What about the word of encouragement? My Bible says, anxiety weighs down a heart, but an encouraging word makes it glad. Listen, it is not a bad idea. Parent, I suggest to you, if you're going to be a good parent, you have got to become a master encourager. Did you hear what I'm saying to you? You have got to master the issue of encouragement.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
So what's the profile of an encouragement? You know, Barnabas is one of the greatest encouragers, guess what, in the Bible. I said in the New Testament, if you study the entire Bible, you'll find that today we're talking about one of the greatest encouragers in the entire Bible. You know, we hear a lot about Barnabas. In fact, interestingly enough, many Christians have even heard the name Barnabas. As important, you're going to find out as we go through our lesson this morning how important Barnabas was for in the scriptures. But Barnabas turned to Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, verse number 36, and we'll find out what his real name was. Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, verse 36. And the Bible says Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Barnabas was a nickname the apostles gave him because he had such an encouraging spirit. Don't miss that. This guy, Joseph, had such an encouraging spirit that they gave him the nickname meaning son of encouragement. Barnabas means son of encouragement. Barnabas had the unique ability to change the atmosphere around him. What a blessing that is. He had the ability to change the atmosphere. You know, encouragers bring a positive atmosphere. I don't know about you, but I love to be in a place where there are encouragers. They just bring a warmth. They bring an energy into the place. But I'm here to tell you that discouragers often suck the life out of the room. Sometimes you're in a circle and everything is going well. People are having such a good time. We're rejoicing in the things of the Lord. And here comes Mr. Discourager. And bang, they immediately tell you what is wrong about everything. And all of a sudden, the ear is just sucked out. Discouragers often say and do things that sting. Discouragers often do things that if they're not careful, they cause others to throw in the towel. People become discouraged and they can't be bothered anymore and they throw in the towel. No, don't get me wrong. I know that there are sometimes we have to point out someone's shortcomings. There are times like that. But might I suggest to you, if you find that in your life, that's all the time, probably something is wrong in your heart. If you find that you always have to be telling somebody their shortcomings, something is wrong in your heart. There are times to do it, but there are times to be an encourager. And God says we should be an encourager every single day. Every church needs more people like Barnabas. And so it is my prayer that as we go through the profile of an encourager, as we look at the life of Barnabas, to look at what does an encourager look like, that there will be brothers and sisters here this morning who would say, God, please make me an encourager. That is really my prayer for this message. That God might challenge somebody to say, God, make me an encourager. Make me like Barnabas. Number one, what does an encourager look like? The profile of encouragers. Number one, they have a generous spirit. And so here we are in Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, which I just turned you to. And we're now reading from verse 36 and verse 37. And it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, who was called Barnabas, verse 37, he sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas had a generous spirit. He not only gave from his income, he gave from his assets. You know, sometimes we figure we can only give from income. But once that money gets into that 401k or bank account or you know, retirement or there's no way it can come out. Barnabas didn't have that idea. Barnabas sold some land and he brought the money and he put it at the apostles' feet. Now, I could go off and preach a message about giving, but I'm not going to go there because that's not my objective today. But suffice it to say that Barnabas was generous to the work of God. Would to God that every believer in Jesus Christ would have this spirit of generosity where we are committed to giving to the work of God so that God's work might expand. Amen? But do you know, and I did some studying to see to see this, and because I thought this was an interesting thing, and I did some studying to find out if this has found to be true, if the social scientists of today have found this to be true. And I was very encouraged to know that they have also found that encouragers have a generous spirit. One of the reasons why encouragers have a generous spirit is because an encourager does not focus on themselves. Do you realize that? An encourager somehow has a concern for you. An encourager, and we'll see more of this as we go along, an encourager is actually trying to drive you forward, to get you to excel. And as a result of that, an encourager is generous with their resources. They're generous with their time. An encourager will actually sit and talk to you. They're not always in a hurry and have no time. Amen? But number two, encouragers reach out to outsiders. Turn with me to Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. And we're going to read a story there that we didn't get to when we were passing by Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 through 30. If you're there, say amen. We're talking about Saul, okay? And it says, when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples because, of course, Saul had just become a Christian. He was a new convert, and he tried to join the disciples in Jerusalem, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So Saul ends up in Tarsus. And how did Saul/Paul get integrated in the church? Because of a man named Barnabas. You see, the church didn't want to have anything to do with Saul as far as they were concerned. This whole idea of him trying to pretend that he's a Christian, it was all about infiltrating the church to do even more damage. But Barnabas, Mr. Encourager, Barnabas risked his reputation. And Barnabas took Saul to the brethren. And he said, listen, I will vouch for him. So Barnabas was interested in the outsider, and Barnabas wanted to make sure that the outsiders got connected. Now let me ask you a question. What about you and outsiders? You know, I've come to realize that sometimes people come to church and they feel like outsiders for one reason or the other. You know, sometimes people have a sordid history, their story. They have a story that is a little worse than your story. And sometimes, you know, now that we get saved, if your story was worse than mine, I sometimes have an issue with you. But we need to make sure that we are willing to reach out to the outsider. Amen? Are you reaching out? Are you making sure? Well, you know, we are blessed in our church that almost every Sunday God sends us some visitor, and then we have all these new members getting in. Are you doing anything to help these individuals feel like they are loved and they're a part of this body of Christ? What are you doing? Or are you only hanging with your crew? I'm going to suggest to you, you're doing very little as a true encourager if the only thing you can do is hang with your crew. You got to get out of the box. You got to see who is an outsider, who needs help to fit in. The profile of an encourager. In case you think this was easy, this was not easy for Barnabas. Do you realize that Barnabas more than likely knew people? Saul had damaged his friends. In fact, Steve, I'm sure, was his friend. Saul had killed his friends. Saul had brutalized his friends. But Barnabas was willing to set aside his own personal pain in order to reach out. And I'm going to suggest to you, my friend, that sometimes, you know what happens in the body of Christ? Somebody hurt our feelings. Somebody stepped on our toe. Somebody didn't do it the way we think it should have been done. And so immediately we have written them off. But Barnabas, this man had killed his friends, but he was still going to reach out because he was committed to the cause of Christ and he was going to be an encourager.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550 or by visiting our website, gcafamilychurch.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.